Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively out on the road doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, wrapping things up as the Baltimore Ravens wrap things up. All of our coverage brought to you by our friends at Coons Ford Security Boulevard, as well as our friends at Royal Farms. I had a cup of real fresh, real fast with my real tasty Smith Island cake that we brought back from Tylerton. You know, Luke, if you're coming down for show, hey, Otani, there's an op. I mean, I know you like chocolate and you like cake, and I have a couple extra pieces that my wife strategically has put aside for special people like you. So let's see how this thing goes. We've talked some baseball. We certainly talked some football, what that mess was the other night. Let's just get level set on where they are with the roster, because we haven't seen Lamar Jackson. We haven't seen Hollywood Brown. I mean, I would think there's seven or eight guys we haven't seen that are on the roster, right?
Yeah, no question about it. And we're at the point now this week, they trim from 85 to 80. So we're going to see more moves this week. And this is a time of year that's interesting. A lot of times you can think, okay, well, the back end of the roster guys that you saw in the fourth quarter on Saturday night. Yeah, it could be some of those guys, but you're also looking at guys like an Andre Smith, like a Jordan Richards, guys that are in that veteran category, but it's not looking great for their roster chances. And sometimes you'll see teams do this where they'll let a guy go a little bit early, you know, a veteran player who has played in the league a little bit, but is pretty clearly not even really on the bubble for them. Sometimes they'll let them go with the idea that, okay, maybe they can catch on to play in that last preseason game, or at least gives them a time, you know, some time for their agent to seek out some opportunities and they can get a job elsewhere, because you get to that point where final cuts happen at the end of the month. It's a free for all. I mean, you have literally hundreds of guys on the waiver wire. You literally have, at the very least, dozens and dozens of vested veterans who just hit the market. So, you know, if you're in that category, like a Jordan Richards, for example, and I'm just using him as an example, a guy who's played in the league, but he's a special teams player, very minimal defensive value at the safety position. If you've decided that Geno Stone or Ardarius Washington, for example, are a better option for you in terms of, all right, they'll play special teams. Maybe they won't be quite as established as Jordan Richards in that regard, but we feel we're getting much more positional defensive value from them. And those are the moves you have to make. When you're that veteran player that's been around for a number of years, you're a little more expensive by default just because of what the veteran minimum is as opposed to the rookie minimum. And, you know, you no longer have that ceiling, right? You no longer have that upside. Jordan Richards and guys of that nature are exactly what they've been for a few years now in the NFL. You're not really expecting a guy in his late 20s to suddenly become dramatically better. A guy that's 23, however, there's a thought that, yeah, they still have some growing and development to do. So this is the time of year when you start to see a little bit of that, and guys will be let go and some will catch on elsewhere. And unfortunately, and I say this with no disrespect, because there is a difficult human element to this, other guys you'll never hear from again. And it's the way this league works. We know the average career is just a couple years. So we're getting closer and closer, but you know, down to 80 players this week. And you know, some of those will be logical IR related moves. We know LJ Fort, torn ACL, gone for the season. So that'll be a move, but we're slowly but surely pairing the roster to that 53-man, initial 53-man roster. But even then, we know that that's a first roster much more so than a final 53-man roster.
All right, let's go through some positional things and things that you need to see for the next preseason game. Again, this feels like it should be the throwaway, but probably given where they are, it's just been weird as to who Ron Rivera wants to play versus who John Harbaugh wants to play versus who Bill Belichick wants to play. And there's no sort of team meeting about any of this. You just get out there and see how your ones do against their twos. And, you know, our twos are playing because none of our ones are healthy, or we want to rest our ones. Do you think we're going to have any opportunity here this week to see like the real football team before we see it in Vegas? I mean, it's almost gotten to be like college football where you don't really see the team until you see the team anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance certainly to see it at least briefly. I mean, you kind of look at, you know, Ronnie Stanley's been practicing for a couple weeks now. Is there a goal to get him out there and play two series, you know, three series? You know, probably not an entire half, but see what he looks like. Nice to get your starting offensive line out there. I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, Ben Cleveland's back at practice this week, but he missed his second straight a game on Saturday night. Tyree Phillips dealing with an ankle now. Ben Powers has been playing left guard. Would I say he looks like the guy at left guard? No, although he played a little bit better than he did in the first game, which was just really rough for him. So I think we're going to start to see that. Of course, we're not going to see Bateman. You know, we know that the guys that have multi-week injuries or someone like Nick Boyle, who still hasn't practiced yet. And you know, as we get closer and closer to the end of the preseason, you wonder about his status early on in the regular season. But I think there's a good chance we see these guys, you know, Lamar Jackson included, for a couple series. I think that a lot of that's going to be predicated on the health of the wide receivers. And you know, until we see Marquise Brown stack at least a few practices, until we see Sammy Watkins stacking a few practices after he's been banged up a little bit recently, then I do remain a little more skeptical.
I just wonder if they go in and play against the Redskins and have an 11-play drive.
Yeah.
Moves our sensibilities to think something differently about them against the Raiders. There's nothing they're going to prove in any preseason game anyway.
Right.
There are some optics from a fan perspective that don't matter nearly as much as if they go out and crush it in Vegas 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have to weigh. I mean, yes, ideally, you'd love to get your entire starting unit out there and run around a little bit. As you mentioned, put together a touchdown drive, maybe play one more series after that, and then call it a day. Then Lamar Jackson's back
in
a ball cap.
Even if he had seven plays and Tucker kicks a 38-yard field goal, I don't know. Like, does that make everybody feel better that they go out and run around for a series or two?
Right, and you just kind of said it. I mean, and that's where we do take a step back and understanding last year, no one had the preseason. So everyone was on equal footing in that regard. But it does speak to how necessary is it. That's why you don't force it. That's why I said throughout the week leading into the Carolina game, I had people ask me, is Lamar going to play this week? And I look at it and say, okay, the only difference this week as far as players available surrounding him on that offense is, all right, Kevin Zeitler's back, but the wide receivers still aren't healthy. Ronnie Stanley's not playing. They're holding out Mark Andrews because he had the cramping late in the week down in Spartanburg, which, you know, he's okay, but was scary at the time and probably a reminder of, hey, let's take care of our former Pro Bowl tight end and a guy we think can make more Pro Bowls moving forward. But I think this week there probably is a little more of a sense, a little more of an urgency to, if it makes sense, if you have at least close to your full assortment of players, get out there. Play a couple series, get your game legs back, start that game clock that you always hear about, and then you move on, and the next step is Vegas. But it is different because you mentioned how are these teams going to view this through the lens of you had previously a four-game preseason, and now it's three. I would assume most teams will view it through the lens of, all right, that fourth terrible throwaway game is now gone. And we're still going to view now the third preseason game as being something of a little more value. Not like the old days where they're playing the starters into the third quarter. Maybe you'll see some teams do that, but I think more teams will probably approach it like the Ravens, where I think you'll see the veterans briefly, like we saw the starting defensive line for a series last Saturday night. But I think you'd like to at least like to see this offensive line play a little bit together, where they haven't been able to practice a whole lot together. I mean, they're just getting to the point now where they're starting to practice together. So,
There's the extra time too. This is a little weirder for the body clock, right? That this extra 2 weeks, the bye before the season begins for everybody, I don't think they do a whole lot of things that feel like that's a great idea. That feels like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think that's worth mentioning. It's not as though they eliminated the fourth preseason game and then moved the season up a week. You know, it's not as though they're starting Labor Day weekend as opposed to the weekend after that. So I think there's a good chance we'll see Lamar and some of these guys that we haven't seen. Do I think they're going to play very long, though, on Saturday night? Probably not. But a lot of that, again, we'll monitor over the course of the week as far as who's out there. Media is still allowed to watch practice this week, even though the fans aren't out there for this last week of, quote, training camp. So we'll still have a decent idea of attendance and participation levels. And as we get closer to Saturday night, I think we'll have a better idea. But my expectation is we'll see some of those guys we haven't seen in the first two preseason games, at least for a little while, say a good chunk of the first quarter at the very least.
Luke, what's got you excited about the team? I mean, I think the way the defense has played in the preseason and that depth, we've talked about that. That would, for 20 years, it was all defense, defense, defense. Then it's the Lamar show the last 3 years, right? That the defense has still been a pretty significant part of this. And I've talked about Brandon Williams. When he plays, they stop the run. And when he doesn't play, they haven't stopped the run and they lose. And the kinds of players that they've drafted and brought in here, how multiple they are on defense, that as much as Lamar is going to spin the ball on Monday Night Football and be the show and all of that, before this is all over with, if they're going to win and really win in January, it's nice that we're talking about the defense in August, right?
It has to be. I mean, and this defense, even with all the hand-wringing and concerns about the pass rush for the better part of a few years now, I mean, that's something we've talked about every offseason. You get to the end of the season and they've been a top 10 or top 5 caliber defense, depending on some injuries. You know, and we've seen that at different times over the last few years, but they have a way that they do things. They're going to play a lot of man-to-man defense. They're going to pressure the quarterback, meaning blitzing and stunts and deception and fake blitzing and putting 8 guys at the line of scrimmage. And yeah, they might only rush 4, but not necessarily the 4 you expect. So I'm very much encouraged by what I've seen from the defense in the preseason, for as much as preseason football has value, which isn't much. But I think we've seen the depth, and I think that's what's encouraging. As much as the questions will be there with the pass rush, in the sense of, okay, what does Odafe Owe look like? He looks like a freakish athlete and looks good and moves well in the spring and the summer. But what about when they're playing for real in September and moving forward after that? How much does Justin Houston have left? But beyond that, I think you look at the rest of this defense and you look at the depth, especially in the secondary, and that excites me. I look at where they are right now. I think the defensive line is basically set. There could be some question between, say, Justin Ellis versus Aaron Crawford. But Aaron Crawford, a young guy, was on their practice squad last year, a nose tackle, someone I think that could figure into their plans in the future. But he's been hurt. You know, he's missed some time here recently. I'm guessing he can probably make it to the practice squad. So does that put Justin Ellis on the 53? Crawford goes to the practice squad, and you revisit that over the course of the season. Outside linebacker, I think the first 4 are easily decided. Is there some question? And look, I'm not saying Pernell McPhee is on the bubble. I don't think he is. But if you really like what you've seen from Jalen Ferguson and you look at their numbers, you know Owe, Justin Houston, Tyus Bowser, and Dalen Hayes, 5th-round pick, who's shown enough that, yeah, you're going to keep him on the 53-man roster. Beyond that, it comes down to, are you going to keep 5 and it's McPhee and Jalen Ferguson, bye-bye, we haven't seen enough from you? Or do you like what you've seen from Jalen Ferguson and say, do you run the risk of letting Pernell McPhee go and maybe try to re-sign him after week 1? I don't think that's how it plays out. My gut at this point, and maybe the injury to LJ Fort, and you're looking at inside linebacker and you kind of look at, you're looking at the numbers at each position, right? You're looking, okay, here's what we kind of have in mind for our D-line. This is what we have in mind for inside linebacker, outside linebacker, et cetera. And you're doing that on the other side of the ball as well. But you look at the numbers, you look at how they profile. My gut, based on if Jalen Ferguson stacks another good performance, and I thought he played well again on Saturday night, is they keep 6 outside linebackers. And Jalen Ferguson might be a healthy scratch like he was at the end of last year, but maybe he's shown enough that you say, let's not give up on this. Let's see what Pernell McPhee looks like over the course of the season, or understanding that injuries occur. So you don't want to
say, man, wherever we are in all of this from week to week in this league, that extra guy, that 6th guy or that 7th guy in that position, when they hit the street, we've been at this a long time. We know they come back in. And honestly, early part of my career, it's my 30th anniversary, hence the 30 crab cakes in 30 days. The first 10 years, we hemmed and hawed about who was coming north with the Orioles until we sort of, it morphed into the Buck Showalter, you know, we're going to have 18 pitchers and we're going to just figure out which 11 we're going to carry around tonight. There's roster flexibility and where they are at the edges. I'm more concerned, honestly, with who runs special teams, because those guys tend to have more value all the way along because they're out there playing special teams. And deep down, John's a special teams coach. And I think he, more than maybe anybody, values that 41st to 53rd place on the roster to say, Now, how's that guy getting on the field? And in what's going to have to happen? Who's going to have to get hurt in what way that guy is going to be out playing safety for me in the third quarter today? And do we really even want that? And I think those are the kinds of questions we're asking. To your point, is he old? Is he young? Is there upside for him to ever be a starter? If this guy goes down, what's our insurance on that? And I would think McPhee's an insurance policy. Guys like that become much more of an insurance policy.
Right. No question about it. And I'm glad you brought up the special teams as it pertains to what we were talking about with outside linebacker. Jalen Ferguson hasn't been a guy that's been involved in special teams very much. That's why I said if he makes the roster as a sixth outside linebacker, I'm guessing there's a pretty darn good chance, barring an injury to one of those other guys, he's probably going to be a game day healthy scratch, which, look, you have to put down a certain number of guys on game day. So it's not to say, well, you just cut them then. You keep them around. And whether it's Pernell McPhee or, you know, Dalen Hayes gets hurt week two or something along those lines. But you're right. All of these backup spots, and I mentioned this earlier, I feel like I'm picking on Jordan Richards. I don't want to pick on Jordan Richards, but it's just an example. You could say the same about Anthony Levine as a special teams guy. You look at guys like that, which the Ravens have clearly prioritized keeping a few special teams guys around. You could have said the same thing about Albert McClellan for years. Chris Board fits into that category a little bit, although he does play in sub packages at linebacker. But how do you weigh those guys in terms of special teams value versus positional value? Can you afford to carry more than one or two guys, not counting your two, kicker, punter, long snapper, but a couple other guys that are almost exclusively special teams players? I mean, Jordan Richards is listed as a safety. He's not a guy that, if he's out there playing safety, things have gone very wrong for you in terms of a couple guys getting hurt on game day and you're just kind of scratching and clawing, trying to get through a game, hoping you have a chance to win. So that always factors into it. And I think that's where things are interesting. I mentioned outside linebacker, but really in the secondary, I mentioned the safety position, and I'd even look at cornerback, where you have a guy like Chris Westry, who I've talked about a lot this summer. Lots of people have talked about him this summer versus Sean Wade, who's a fifth round pick who, a pretty decorated career at Ohio State, but struggled his senior year at Ohio State to the point where he was viewed as a guy who might be a second round pick, and he fell to the fifth round. The fact that he entered the game so late on Saturday night leads me to believe that, Sean Wade, that's tough, and all those questions come back to what are they offering you besides positional depth? What are they giving you on special teams? We've seen Westry act as a gunner, for example. So, is that something that he can handle? That was something that the Ravens, they had Devontae Harrison camp, who they let go a little while ago. They let him go last week. He was one of their gunners late last season. So they clearly identified some other corners, or whether it's Odafe Owe playing punt gunner, we've talked about that. But they've identified other guys who can do that job. Well, then they let him go. Why? Because he didn't offer much positional value as a corner. So it's a puzzle. And you take away one piece and you try to see if another piece will fit that need, and it might be a guy at a different position. Wide receiver, guys like James Prochet, and I think Tylan Wallace, if he's going to be active on game day as a fourth round rookie, it's going to be on teams. It's not going to be him in the offense. He's probably not going to have much of an offensive role as things stand right now. So that's what John Harbaugh and his staff are weighing right now. And you just said it. We know, with no disrespect to Chris Horton, who's a special teams coordinator, John Harbaugh is really a special teams coordinator in the sense of you have a head coach who prioritizes that so much. So I think that's where you do see the Ravens on the back end of the roster maybe do things a little bit differently. At the same time, it's not as though you can just look at six or seven guys and just say, oh yeah, we're keeping them on special teams alone. They've got to offer something a little bit, whatever their position is on either side of the ball. And that's where, I haven't mentioned them, but because of the LJ Ford injury, you look at someone like Christian Welch, who played special teams for them last year, but wasn't really in the picture whatsoever as an inside linebacker. But your assumption, barring an outside addition, which I think Eric DaCosta will at least explore that in terms of another veteran inside linebacker to kind of back up Queen and Malik Harrison. But now you have someone like Christian Welch, who in my mind was on the bubble, maybe from a ceremonial standpoint, but I didn't think had a great chance to make the team. Now, as it stands, they're probably going to need a fourth inside linebacker just because inside linebackers tend to play a lot of special teams, and LJ Fort played a lot of special teams. So, you know, it's all about that. So you're keeping your fingers crossed that you don't have any other major injuries, but you know that they're going to happen at some point, at least some injury that's going to alter how the beginning of the season looks at the very least. In the way we talked about this with Trace McSorley going down and suddenly there's no more competition, Tyler Huntley's the backup. And now the question is, do you keep McSorley in the organization? How do you do that? So, or do you run the risk of losing him and then just say, hey, we'll cross that bridge when
or do you really need there. A third quarterback because right. your quarterback's not vaccinated?
There's all those different factors, and that's part of it. And I'm glad you mentioned that from the standpoint of any of these bubble players we're talking about, or even guys who don't have a great chance of sticking here, but might have a chance to go elsewhere. That's why if you're an agent that's worth your salt, if you're an agent that's worth a darn to these players, any of these guys that are on the bubble, if they happen to fall into that group of not being vaccinated, and I'm not speculating about any specific Ravens players, I'm saying in general, those guys especially, if you're not vaccinated, your agent has totally failed you from an IQ standpoint where, look, man, if you want to be in the league and you're the 51st player on the roster, the 52nd player on the roster, the 53rd player on the roster, you're not vaccinated at this point. Well, that seems like a very easy tiebreaker, right? Between you and someone else and that guy's vaccinated. I don't think it's, you know, if it's anywhere close to me, you're keeping the vaccinated player and you're not even thinking twice about it. So that is another layer here that isn't necessarily going to hit the public eye, but we know that that's something that's in the background around the league. And
it's not going to get Lamar Jackson cut, to your point.
Right, right. But even,
I don't know how he's getting into the building in Las Vegas 3 weeks. I mean, there's that too.
Yeah,
And there's the expectation of he can't go to a concert at Merriweather. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how all that works behind the scenes for the details of that. But it's the same thing then if there's a player you like elsewhere that shakes loose because of cap reasons or whatever it might be. One of the first questions I think you're going to ask the agent of that player is he vaccinated? And to me, for those fringe guys, it's probably, and I would almost guarantee that becomes a non-starter then. If they're not vaccinated, it's like, all right, moving on elsewhere. We're going to look elsewhere. So my guess, especially knowing where the league is from a percentage standpoint, we know, you know, it's doing much better than the general population in that way, as far as percent vaccinated. I suspect there are very few guys in this league that are truly those fringe roster players who are unvaccinated because they've either already been cut, or I'm guessing that's coming for them and that might be their exit, you know, their exit ticket out of the league.
I actually spent a little time with some doctors over on the Eastern Shore talking about their COVID experience with unvaccinated people. So I want to make sure I bring that out. Luke, I brought back some cake. I hope we get to enjoy it at some point. I know we have the Shohei Ohtani show happening downtown here and some more fake football, but we are getting closer. I mean, it does feel like September 13th is around the corner. College football is going to be doing it here this week as well as we get going. So rest up, as they say. Better times ahead, my friend.
No question about it. Looking forward to it. And yeah, let's hope you see Lamar Jackson maybe for a series or two and he stays upright and things look fine and then get him out of there. And it's on to Las Vegas then, which still feels a little strange saying that, the Las Vegas Raiders, but here we are. And it'll be here before we know it. We're at that, you know, 3 weeks away, you know, under 3 weeks. It's pretty wild to think that, but week one almost here, and be time to talk about this in a much more serious tone, at least in terms of the outcome of the game. Not so concerned about a 19 game preseason winning streak, which is nice, but isn't doing anything for you come January.
Luke, I've been on to Vegas many times in my life. So it's,
there you go.
I'll be fine to be on to Vegas next week. I'm on the Deep Creek Lake in parts west here in the beautiful, and I do mean beautiful, state of Maryland. The Free State, heading out Frederick, Hagerstown, Washington County, Garrett County, Allegheny County, Oakland, Deep Creek. And I'm fly fishing on Friday with Eric Sauer, founder of There Goes My Hero, as well as my lifer pal, Dan Rodericks from the Evening Sun. Fly fishing, doing things I've never done, going to Antietam, doing things I've never done. You can follow all of that at Crab Cake Tour. You can follow Luke at Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. He'll be monitoring all things Orioles, losing streaks, sensations, and football. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.